Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Money matters. Why should we study about money and giving? Why is it so important? Well, the answer is because it's a Bible subject. There is more on the subject of money, the right attitude toward it, and the proper use of it, than there is for the Lord's Supper, or baptism, even marriage, and many other subjects that we rightfully consider to be important. Well, this is reason enough for our study. 1 Corinthians 9:11-13 says, "If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap of your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar?" Philippians 4:16, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." In Romans 10:15, "How shall they preach except they be sent?" Well, friend, I suggest to you that all of these passages tell us why this study about money is important. Money is a means of getting the gospel to the world by supporting those who preach it. Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." The needs of others that they cannot provide for themselves is why we need to study money matters. In 1 Timothy 5:16, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." There are those for whom the church has responsibility, and we need to learn to give in order to provide for them just as Scripture directs. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase." You see, giving is a way of worshiping God. Philippians 4:17, Paul said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that ye may abound to your account." Paul urged his brethren to supply his need, but not just for himself, but for their own development. Acts 20:35, "It is more blessed to give than receive." Now we're to give as a way of proving our love. 2 Corinthians 8:8, "I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love." These are a few of the Bible reasons for knowing what God teaches regarding money and its acquisition, our attitude toward it, and our disposition of it. Who does God expect to give the financial support needed for the conduct of the work of the church? Well, the answer is simple. God looks to Christians. Who else cares? Acts 2:42 speaks of brethren having fellowship, joint participation, sharing their goods, and carrying the burdens. 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul addressed the brethren and told them to lay by, every one of you, lay by in store. The "you" referred to Christians. Everyone must be involved. It is not a task just for those of greater abundance. The financial integrity of the Lord's church depends upon each member learning and doing as God says in this matter. And since we are the children of God, in seeing how God has given to us, it is only reasonable and right that we also give to God. Our very lives have been given to us by God, Acts 17:5. God gave His Son, John 3:16. Ephesians 5:25, 1 Timothy 2:6, they both show that Christ gave Himself as a ransom for us. He offers to give us rest, Matthew 11:28, And when God gives, he gives liberally, James 1 and verse 5. He is the giver of every good gift, James 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Deity has given so much. Is it strange that deity expects humanity to give? We could give, acceptably, only when we understand our relationship with the material things around us and that are under our control. In 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10, 11, and 14, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Now notice, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. This David said following a great contribution by Israel unto God. But he said they only gave God what was already really his. Matthew chapter 25 and the parable of the talents shows that we are but stewards of that which belongs to God. We're not the owners, but have only a certain portion entrusted to our care for a while, for which we shall give an account to him to whom it really belongs. In 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God warned Israel that in their prosperity they would forget the very source of their wealth. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, 17 and 18, And thou say in thine heart, My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish this covenant which he spake unto thy fathers as it is this day. The rich fool of Luke chapter 12 made the mistake of thinking his wealth was his. Job said in Job 1 and verse 21, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, people make such a foolish mistake when they talk about my money and God's money. There is no such distinction in reality. When money is in my pocket, it belongs to God. When I put it in the collection basket, it still belongs to God. Ownership does not change. Stewardship changes. When it is in my pocket, I'm the steward of it. When I give it into the collection plate, the eldership assumes stewardship over it. But it always belongs to God. When it is in my pocket, I'm to use it to fulfill my obligations. When in the plate, the eldership has the responsibility to use it according to that which is authorized in Scripture for the church to do. At times, the duty that I have may overlap the collective duty of all the church together. At times, that for which I use my money is the same for what the church can use its money. But I have personal duties and responsibilities and privileges that do not belong to the church, nor for which the church has authority to be involved. It is a false doctrine that teaches that because the money always belongs to God, that whatever I as an individual can do with money, the church can also do the same. But this is false, because the responsibilities and the authority behind them differ. But we must understand that it is never what we have that we can call our own. It is God's. We are caretakers, and we shall give an account. But how are we to give? How much are we to give? Now, friend, these are not the same question. The how involves the heart. The how much involves the amount. In Matthew 6, 1 through 4, we're warned against giving to be seen of others. In Matthew 10 and verse 8, freely ye have received, freely give. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, but I say unto you, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We are to give as God hath prospered us. 1 Corinthians 16:2 and Luke 12:48. For unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. And 2 Corinthians 8:12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. There were several tithes that were applicable to the Jews, but there is no specified percentage or amount revealed in the New Covenant. Now, some may try to bind a 10% to giving. They have no biblical authority to do that under the Christian age. At the same time, some may hide behind this to justify doing less than was done under the Old Covenant. But we never read in any age or dispensation of people giving less than a tenth. We are to give liberally and cheerfully and bountifully as we have prospered with the intent and planning and thought, as well as giving sacrificially. The widow gave of all of her living, Luke 21:2. The Macedonians gave even in their poverty, 2 Corinthians 8:2. Some early Christians even sold their possessions in order to give, Acts 4:37. The early church gave upon the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:2. You know, it's a little bit strange how some realize this means every first day of every week in the matter of money, but somehow they ignore this when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper, doing it maybe once a month or quarterly or whenever the mood might suit. But the language of 1 Corinthians 16 is the same as that of Acts 20:7. We can also give at other times as opportunity affords and needs demands, Galatians 6:10. Some have been known to borrow money to live. Some have even been known to borrow money to give. If there is a secret to successful giving, it is found in 2 Corinthians 8:5, where it is said that those brethren of Macedonia first gave of themselves to the Lord. Dear listener, I would emphasize to you that one who truly gives himself to God will work toward proper giving. He will strive to be sacrificial in his giving. We are not our own, nor does what we have really belong to us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. So here is the key to proper giving. Deny self, put God in his kingdom and his righteousness first. Matthew 6:33. God once rebuked Israel because some were robbing God, Malachi 3:8. The way they were doing it? Why, it was by refusing to give as they ought. People have and people can and probably still do rob God, and we do rob God when we fail to give as we are taught in Scripture. Money matters are important matters because money matters. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.